Good afternoon, everyone. I was really excited about the previous speaker's comments about running for office because I have run for office, just as my colleague here. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But what this presentation focuses on primarily is on teaching and learning policy, politics, and public health nursing with direct entry masters in nursing, clinical nurse leader graduate students. Big mouthful. We just call them demons, and they like that. So I'd like to go to the next slide where I talk about that I have no financial relationships or commercial interests that are relevant to this particular presentation to disclose. My colleague, who was the clinical preceptor for these students, was Pamela Levesque. She was not able to be here. She was an outstanding clinical faculty member, and I highly recommend that everyone love their clinical faculty. The objectives for this presentation are to describe the challenges associated with teaching this particular group, both in the classroom and in the clinical arena, as well as successful strategies for learning, and I focus on learning, not the teaching piece, when educating students with undergraduate and graduate degrees in fields other than nursing. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that shortly. First and foremost, as the public health nursing course unfolds, remember this is a graduate level course, and I believe very strongly, whether I'm teaching an undergraduate or a graduate level course, that the beginning of that course begin with introductions. And I spend a considerable amount of time, the very first class session, focusing on that. And there's many reasons for that, which I will tell you about shortly. It helps to lay the groundwork for the course. I also incorporate learning partnerships. We focus on public health issues, and this is a population-focused course. We use some strategies, including roundtables, which I will talk a little bit more about, workshops and presentations. And I liked this little picture because it really represents the students in this course to me. The introductions and groundwork are really significant because as we begin to get to know each other, I am able as a faculty member to identify, acknowledge, and value their prior knowledge, their educational background, their life experiences, and their life situations. I have students who are coming to this course with degrees in physics, MBAs, doctorates in public health, masters in public health, students from anthropology, sociology, psychology, you name it, we've got it, including a drama major. One of the things that this helps me to do, which is very important to me, not only in terms of teaching this course, but in terms of incorporating the students in the development and the construction of the course, is I gain a better understanding of their epistemology, or how it is they view knowledge and how they view the world. It's extremely important to understand that when you're talking to somebody who's got an engineering degree, when then they're talking about systems, they're coming from a whole different perspective on systems, but you can capitalize on their prior knowledge. This course also, in the sense of bringing about the introductions, helps to reduce any disparities that might exist within the group. For example, power disparities among faculty and students. And you'll see shortly how I address some of that. We also build toward program goals and professional roles. I take those into account as I design and construct and create meaningful learning opportunities for the students. They also participate in the construction of these learning opportunities and in the choices that are made in the course. Some of these learning strategies include, again, the learning partnerships. The students are, remember, they're preparing to be clinical nurse leaders. They're not preparing to be clinical nurse specialists, but leaders in their unit, whatever unit that might be, including public health units or agencies or institutions. So they need to become familiar with how to be resources to their colleagues. That's one of the goals that I build into this, or one of the goals we're seeking to meet, and I help them try to achieve. They investigate public health issues. They select readings from some that I've offered them, as well as some they choose themselves, and they become sounding boards for each other. They offer each other support, and they can even pick up where someone might be unsure in or get off track when we're having conversations. They also rotate responsibilities, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second. They write executive summaries. So when you said a one-page briefing paper, I had to smile because my students have great opportunities for just that. These are not abstracts. They're miniature, highly condensed reports that focus on a public health issue of the student's choice, of the learning partnership's choice. No more than one page. It's typed. They have to provide, cite their sources. I don't keep them to the APA margins because, you know, they want to go border to border. They'd love to go beyond the borders, but they can't because they have to keep it on one page, single-spaced, and they really pack the stuff in. The initial executive summary includes a statement of the problem or the scope of the public health issue and sort of gives an overview as well as some background information and some conclusions that are drawn from the material that they read in preparation for their executive summary. The subsequent summaries include various themes, some of which the students help to choose, others are of which I encourage them strongly to choose because they are clearly very important to understanding the public health issues. Students learn how to articulate their understanding, both in writing and verbally, of what these issues are and how to address them. They also begin to get a better understanding of the complexity of them, that they're not just caused by one thing. If we could only buy more apples, the migrant farm workers would have more money. I mean, it's just not that simple, right? They begin to understand the multiple factors that contribute to whatever the issue is, and I want them to leave people wanting to read more so that when they finish their summary and their discussion, that the rest of the group will want to go out and read those same documents. Here's the roundtable. Now, this was the best picture I could find. Sometimes we do, in fact, have a chair in the middle of the room just because we can't get the chairs out of the way. But nobody sits in that center. We all sit in the circle. We reduce the power disparities in the room. Some folks have doctorates in public health. Others have doctorates, myself, in education. And we have students who are just right out of their first undergraduate program. They've never even worked before in a employment setting other than maybe McDonald's or as a server while they were going to school. These facilitations provide opportunities for the student to give a summary of this executive summary that they've written. They have to come up with guided questions that engage their classmates, not just, you know, you can answer this with a closed-ended answer like yes and no. It helps the students, especially those who are new to speaking in a class, new to public health, new to being in a room with folks who have master's and doctoral degrees, to develop their voice. Everybody has the opportunity and the responsibility to speak in the class. They also develop an understanding that these are issues that are very timely, and yet when they are in a setting where they have to present to their colleagues, they may not have more than 10 minutes to do so. So when we're talking about disseminating information, they've got this executive summary they've pulled together, and they're going to honor the time frame so that everyone has an opportunity to hear about the issues. They rotate the responsibility each week, and we don't do this the entire semester because after a while, it sort of gets old and they want to do some other things, which is fine. I would like to ask one of the audience participants to read a little bit from one of the summaries, if you don't mind. And I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Jessica.
Jessica. Oh, great. If you could stand up and read for us. Oh, no one will see that.
Okay. Working for social justice is a vital responsibility of the nurse. One component of social justice particularly relevant in the case of IP is the issue of health disparities and the ability of the nurse to ensure that human rights are respected for all people. AACN 2007. Ben Goodley 2007 report that women who have experienced IPV are at a high risk for many physical complaints such as hypertension, diabetes, irritable bowel syndrome, miscarriage, and sexually transmitted diseases. Women of lower socioeconomic status are at a higher risk for both IPV as well as health disparities. Further, the potential for health disparities is actualized through barriers to health care. These barriers can be divided into three broad categories. One, individual barriers such as fear of being stigmatized, informal versus formal service providers, family secrecy. Two, organizational barriers such as health care, provider training, assessment tools and their use, patient stereotypes, lack of cultural competence, and language barriers. And three, systemic barriers such as discriminatory treatment, poverty, and immigration status. Health disparities coupled with a history of IPV can exacerbate differences in care received, leading women to avoid seeking care altogether. A health disparity can ultimately cause a poorer outcome for women who have been subject to IPV, whereby they have less access to health care, increased fear, discomfort in reporting IPV, and inequities in treatment when IPV is reported. Ben Goodley, T. 2007.
Thank you so much, Jessica. That's just one example of a portion of an executive summary that Tracy wrote this semester. The focus of that was on domestic violence, that was the public health issue, but it was from the theme of social justice. Students are given opportunities to read some examples of articles that have been written that focus on social justice from different perspectives, and then they choose which ones to write about. Thank you. And then they talk about their public health issue from each of these themes. Which themes you use depend on what your interests are, the students' interests are, or whatever. For example, in terms of media, I ask the students to approach this from how does the media influence the perspective of the society on this public health issue, or how does the media, perhaps, or technology help us in terms of addressing something? For example, in terms of TB, what technology might be used to help us identify folks better, or HIV, or any of those perspectives that might be facilitative. In terms of policy and advocacy, every single week, despite the fact that students are asked to focus on, let's say, vulnerability, they're talking about advocacy. How can we advocate for folks who are vulnerable? And they talk about different interventions that they might choose to use in those discussions. These themes help to focus the students' attention when they're selecting their readings, and it helps to provide a very thorough discussion of each of the public health issues. We also have specific class sessions that are set aside on ethics, policy and politics, and advocacy, even when the students are dealing with these issues throughout the semester. The course readings, for example, is a combination of the scope and standards. That is the only textbook they're required to purchase. They do need to purchase at least one, or check out of the library, a text of their choice that deals with a public health issue. I don't use public health nursing texts, community health nursing texts, or any of that. They have guided readings that I provide them examples of that they can then choose to use. Clearly, with my own sort of agenda, they have a feminist slant. They will encourage them to think about things in new and different ways than they probably have ever thought of before. They also get to choose their own articles. And when I say documents, I'm encouraging them to look into organizations that have documents related to, or have developed documents related to the health issue. For example, in terms of domestic violence or homelessness, they may look at a Coalition for Homelessness organization to find out what documents they've published. Some of the examples of these executive summaries are included on the chair over there. If you did not get one, I have additional examples, and you're welcome to have those. Some of the course challenges, I'm getting close to the end, just in case you were wondering. Some of the course challenges are getting to know the learners. If you've got students who are reluctant to speak up initially in that first class, it's harder to get to know what their background is. That requires building in additional questions. For example, if they've had other courses together, because this is a cohort that moves through the program together, I ask them to tell something about themselves that perhaps the group does not know. So not something, and they really struggle with that one. I try to help them build community, to take them from a cohort who's competing with each other to a community of learners who can become resources for each other when they go out into the world in multiple different directions, because most of our students do not remain in New Hampshire. They go to other states, which you're probably all sitting there going, great. I encourage burning questions. Students who may need additional repetition about some issue to ask them during classes, and to give them a sufficient opportunity to ask questions, because they're not always with me. Integrating clinical experiences, that is one that I try to do because they're in 20 different sites. They may be working with little kids or big kids, adults, maybe working in hospice or in the public health department in a clinic. So I want them to learn from each other about what they're learning, as well as faculty backloading information. This is not all about me lecturing. In fact, this I would have preferred to have a much more interactive session than we're having. Faculty information comes at the end. I may ask questions during the discussions, and they're guided questions that help pull in some of the readings if they've not been able to do that on their own. I also may, if, for example, the day is focused on the environment and they're not talking about the epidemiological triangle or the web of causation, then I may ask a question that guides them into some discussion, but I don't lecture. Balance and flexibility between student interests and the need to cover what is and learn what is the essence of public health nursing. That is a key. The other thing I focus very strongly on is facilitating their development as human beings, because in fact they are adults, they are still developing. My area of research interest is adult development and education, curriculum development and educational psychology, and my research is on epistemological development. So I'm very much interested in education as development, not simply education for a professional role. Also, in terms of clinical, some of the similarities with undergrads is that they are novices in the clinical arena. They are entering unfamiliar territory just as undergrads are. They may be very familiar with technology. You may be very surprised about that one. They do have some uncertainty and trepidation. They worry about having enough hands-on experience, and yet these folks are amazing. As I said, some have master's and PhDs. Their backgrounds are diverse. Many have lived and traveled in other countries. They know multiple languages, not only multiple computer languages, but multiple other languages. And their goals are, they want their educational experiences to take into account their goals and interests, not just what you want them to learn, not just what we need to have in nursing. And they're not strictly hands-on folks. The types of assessments that you may do, and this is my final slide, is despite whether you have them focusing on community assessments, population assessment, or environmental assessments, students need sufficient guidance and repetition and support from faculty. They don't know it all. They're going to need help, whatever kind of help, at whatever level they need. That's where we come in terms of providing them the structure, whatever that structure level may need. They need to learn about mining and sifting through information. Of course, they want to cover it all. The summaries help them sift, hone in, focus in on what's significant and relevant to share. Not all of them know how to follow a chain of evidence. They know they need evidence. They don't know how to use it. They don't know how to develop a chain of evidence that makes a case. They also may not all have the same writing ability. So I build in writing workshops in the course. And although I know we're not going to be asking questions now, I'm going to thank you very much for this opportunity, and I hope you do have questions when it's my turn.